All right, this morning, now we're gonna get into the Word of God, and I hope I remember how to do this. It's been 5 weeks, and I'm a little rusty. This morning, we're gonna talk about the miracle of Jesus calming storms. And so very quickly, I wanna talk to you 7 strategies for surviving life's storms. There are times in our lives, and I don't know if you want the good news first or the bad news, so let me give you the bad news first. The bad news is there are times in life where you are going to experience a totally random, out of the blue, unexpected storm. It's going to happen. If you have your oars in the gospel waters at all, and you're making any kind of waves, there's going to be a storm that follows those waves. It's going to happen. At some point in your life, you can't pray your way or confess your way or believe your way out of smooth sailing your entire life. It's not gonna happen. There's going to be times in your life where a storm comes and it knocks your socks off. Get used to it. That's the bad news. The good news is Jesus is a storm calmer and a storm quieter. That's the good news. So I wanna unpack a story this morning, very famous passage of scripture that is full of spiritual truth and strategy that is going to help us survive life's storms. So if you have your Bible with you this morning, open up to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Let me read and then we'll unpack. Mark 4, 35. It says, on the same day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake, the Sea of Galilee. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. But Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? All right, 7 strategies for surviving life's storm. Strategy number 1, are you ready? Here we go. You've got to understand, as I said briefly a moment ago, that there's no guarantee of storm-free living. Your strategy to get through a storm is to realize that there's no guarantee from storm-free living. Listen, I saw this last night on TV and I just went, yes, this is that. You heard about the issue in Houston, Texas, where they found 90 illegal immigrants just jam-packed. Krenzie, did you see it? Jam-packed into this house. And I'm watching the news and they're interviewing neighbors and this precious woman says, I can't believe that something like this happened in my neighborhood. And just as quick, she caught herself, looked into the camera and said, but why not my neighborhood? I'm not exempt from this. My neighborhood isn't exempt from this. Christian, listen to me. I've pastored thousands and thousands of people for 31 years. I'm telling you, we've got people who are here today watching. You're gonna hear this message, and unless God opens your ears and your eyes to this, you're gonna leave here thinking, the next time a storm comes your way, how did this happen to me? The issue isn't, how did this happen to you? The issue is, why wouldn't it happen to you? What is it we think we're exempt from? Because when we think we're exempt from these storms, listen, we are setting ourselves up for a massive defeat. We are setting ourselves up for a massive failure, for our faith to collapse under the weight of what we're going through because somehow we had it in our mind that these things don't happen to us. My first strategy, Larry, going through life, man, I understand this. I'm not exempt from storm-free living. I'm not at all. So they go in the boat. They're going to cross over to the other side. Listen, I mean, just think about this. They're doing the exact thing that Jesus told them to do with Jesus in the boat. If anybody's not going to have a storm, it's them. They're obeying perfectly, and like the man is in the boat. Surely nothing could go wrong. You can be doing great, obeying God, loving God, going, watching morning devotionals and taking communion, and bam, a storm comes. Because you're not exempt, and neither am I. We get it in our minds that we think if we just do what's right, everything will work out right. But friends, we live in a broken world that does not afford us that option. All you have to do is just look at the original apostles, persecuted for years, every single one of them, before they were finally martyred. Come on, storms happen to everybody, no matter how obedient you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 28. I'm just going to hit some quick spots on it, but you can go ahead and read it. Listen to what Paul says about his own life. He goes, man, I've been beaten with stripes above measure. I've been in prison frequently. I've been at the point of death often. 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one, which means he had on his back the markings of 195 lashes. From the cat of nine tails. Paul's back was a road map of scarred storms. He goes on, what else does he say? He goes, I was beaten with rods. I've been stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I've been just floating around out in the middle of the ocean. I've been in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, by false brethren. It seemed like everywhere Paul went, there was a storm. He lived in a storm. And so the bottom line, friends, the bottom line is our only hope of surviving the storm and getting to the other side is by having Jesus, listen to me, and some great friends in the boat with you. We mustn't jump ship ourselves, separating ourselves from the body of Christ, and we better make sure we don't throw Jesus overboard. Don't do it. Some people face storms because we're in a broken world. Some people face storms because the devil hates them and the influence they have, and he's doing anything he can to try to stop it. And some people face storms because we just make stupid decisions sometimes. Regardless of what your storm situation is about, just make sure you stay close to Jesus and you stay close to good friends. Number two, you got to take Jesus as he is. In context, it said when they started to push out from the water that they took Jesus as he is. And I understand what that means. It just means that, you know, they didn't take him with any other baggage or stuff. It was just Jesus. They just took him as he is. But as I look at this in the context of Jesus stopping storms and storms happening in our lives, I see something much more important here. It is taking Jesus as he is on our journey with us, listen to me, and not taking Jesus as we want him to be. It's taking Jesus as he is. And so I want to ask you this morning, are you taking Jesus as the one who allows storms or the one who doesn't allow storms? Are you taking the Jesus who always does what you think is right and affords you only smooth sailing? If that's your Jesus, you've got the wrong Jesus. You've got a fake American drive-through dollar menu styrofoam McJesus. You don't have the Jesus of the Bible. Taking Jesus for who he is means you're embracing both smooth sailing and stormy seas. Taking Jesus as he is means you're taking him in the fellowship of his suffering as well as the power of his resurrection. It means you're embracing both blessing and brokenness. All of it and all of him. Take Jesus as he is and not as you think he should be. Number three, Jesus sleeping is his confidence in himself and not his lack of care for us. I've been through a storm or two in my life, and it seems like sometime during the storm, you find yourself saying, or at least thinking, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? Are you sleeping on me? What are you doing? In the process of him calming the storm, it can seem like he's sleeping, and it can appear as though he doesn't care. And so the disciples, what did they say? Don't you care that we're perishing? The boat is filling up. The waves are crashing in. Like, this is the last moment, and you're asleep on the pillow. That must have been my pillow before there was my pillow. I don't know. It's dangerous what goes on up there when you're preaching, isn't it? Don't you care? Don't you care that, like, this is the end of the end of the end? Friends, when it seems like God is sleeping in your situation, man, I gotta tell myself this. It is only because he is supremely confident in his ability to stop the waves at any time. The reason that the Prince of Peace has peace in our storms, and the reason that the Prince of Peace can speak peace to our storms, is because he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Almighty. He is not concerned about the size of the waves. This is a funny question. I'm sorry if your mind doesn't think like this. Mine does. Would you rather have Jesus at peace sleeping in your storm, or in the back of the boat wringing his hands going, y'all are in trouble? I'm really glad that Jesus isn't in the back of the boat going, oh my me. Oh my God, you got that right? Oh, yeah. I would rather have a Savior who's supremely confident in his ability to stop the storm with a word than a sissy Savior in the back wringing his hands because finally something has come that he can't handle. Come on, sleeping Jesus. That's all right with me. It's not a lack of care. It's his confidence in his peace. Man, that's a strategy I've got to get in my head and in my heart when I'm going through storms. Number four, our cries awaken him more than the storm does. Think about that. Jesus is sleeping in a storm that is so treacherous that the waves are crashing in the boat. They said, we're filling up. This wasn't just like one little, you know, kind of lapped over the side. Like, they're going under. And he's sleeping, as we said. But what happens? He sleeps through the storm. But what awakens him? The cries of his people. The cries of his people. Let me tell you, friends, if you're going through a storm today, and you feel like you've cried your last cry, and you've said the last fancy prayer you know how to pray, man, let me tell you something. Jesus understands this. Oh! Hey! Come on! You can take your big theological quote in scripture all day long prayer and replace it with something from your gut that he'll hear before your properly phrased nonsense. Hey! He sleeps through the storm, but awakens at the cry of his people. Never stop crying. Groanings that can't be uttered or articulated or have proper verbiage put to. He sleeps through the storm, but awakens to the cry of his people. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now listen, I read the end of the story. I know he said, why are you fearful and where's your faith? I know that Jesus wants to and loves to hear us respond in faith. I don't want you to think that I'm saying that, you know, he doesn't respond just to faith. I mean, he loves faith. It's good. But I want you to see in the scripture when your faith is weak and your words are inadequate and your prayer is jumbled, that there's something in the compassionate heart of Jesus that even though it's not faith-filled and articulate, when it's genuine and real, it will cause him to awaken in your storm. He understands groans. He understands cries. He understands tears. Dare I say, he understands our broken silence as an offering to him. Hannah wept and mumbled at the altar. And when the learned religious people saw her, they could only think she was drunk. See, religious people don't always understand what it is to cry and to groan. Jesus understands crying and groaning. Don't quit groaning. Number five, you've got to understand that whatever your storm is, it's going to pass. You've got to know, it's got to be part of your strategy. It's got to be part of your mindset. Your storm is going to pass. Jesus will arise and Jesus will rebuke. Jesus will say, peace be still. And Jesus will produce the great calm that we long for. This is the miracle working, storm stopping, peace giving, calm giving Jesus that we're talking about. I don't know when that's going to happen. He knows. But storms are going to stop, and peace is going to be filled, and calm will be restored. And whatever storm you're going through right now, listen to me. Whatever storm you're going through right now, it's not going to define you. It's not going to destroy you. And it's not going to be your destiny. Unless you let it. Don't let it. Don't let it. Number six, part of my strategy that I've sometimes held really tightly and other times it seems it's been slippery. Part of my strategy is understanding that there's going to be an increase of his power that gets revealed to me when this storm comes to an end, a miraculous end. Part of it is in the waiting. While he still seems to be sleeping and while the waves are crashing and while the problems are surrounding, there's something deep down in my knower that says, when this is over, I'm gonna know him better because I'm gonna see more of his power. And the only way I can see more of his power is to go through a storm that knocks my socks off sometimes. Jesus calms the storm, and what do they say? Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? We know that demons obey him. We've seen that. We know that sickness and disease obey him. We've seen him deal with that. We know that lack and insufficiency obeys him. We've seen him do those miracles. But are you telling me that I've got more to learn about this Jesus? That even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this guy? You see, part of this, friends, part of the strategy of surviving your storm is knowing you're going to come out on the other side having a depth of understanding of the grace and power of God you didn't know on the shore. Job lost it all. His health, his wealth, his children, everything. After, while knowing that to some degree, God was good and that God was powerful. He knew that to some degree. But he knew God a whole lot better after he lost everything. After his storm was treacherous. And then God moved in a new and a bigger way. Look at this, Job 42, 5 and 6. This is Job's confession. You gotta hear this guy through his brokenness say this. He said, God, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. What is this guy going through? He said, God, I've heard of you before. I heard of you. But after this storm that I've gone through, after your restoration, after you speaking to me, after my suffering, now I see you. There's revelation in this. There's a deeper understanding of the sovereign ways of God that make us scratch our heads sometimes. And it only comes through surviving a storm. What hope does it bring to know that my storm, it's not for nothing? And that if I'll keep him in the boat and keep some friends in the boat with me, I'm gonna come out on the other side knowing, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Number 7. I love this one. I hope you do. This is the final one. The strategy of knowing that if I can survive my storm by implementing these principles, I'm going to be used by God to stop other people's storms. That's what Sarah's book is about. We went through the storm of our son going to heaven. What did she learn? What did she go through? What did she glean? What did she see about God? And now as a result of that, what has she done? What have we done for these last 11 years, whatever? Helping other people who are in the exact same place because we've gotten through the storm. We get through the storm. Remember it says, these little things you don't pay attention to. Remember it said that they took Jesus as he was, and other little boats were with him. See, we get so focused on the immediate emergency of the waves crashing into the boat where this is our focal point. This is what we're focused on. What about the other little boats that were right there in the storm? What about the other little boats? You see, when the storm stopped for the boat that we're focused on, the storm stopped for the rest of the little boats. I want to live my life in such a way where I can survive storms so that other little boats who are watching me to see if it's possible to survive a storm, that they get encouraged, that their storm stops, that they live to see another day. Come on, somebody. That's what we're talking about. So yeah, storms, yes. They're gonna happen and we're not exempt. But I read that little story that's so pregnant and so rich with instruction and strategy of how to go through my own storm and to help others get through theirs. Man, I read that and go, God, burn these things into my heart. Jeremy, burn it. Let it get burned into your heart. Friends, Jesus says some interesting things about hearing. Jesus didn't just say, take heed to what you hear. Jesus said, take heed how you hear. Will you please, beloved, will you please take heed to how you hear this message today? Please take heed to it. Storms are coming. That's not a lack of faith or a negative confession. It's real life. Prepare yourself before the storm. Don't wait for the wind to start blowing and the waves to stop crashing before you decide to figure out who Jesus is. Find him now. Know him now. And survive your storm and know him better and help other people find their way. All right, now. Wow. I think we're gonna do this. I think we're gonna do this. Wherever you're watching right now, if you're down in the chapel, wherever you are, I'm asking you for real. If you're going through a storm right now, And a storm isn't relative. It's not like, well, my storm doesn't compare to your storm. No, your storm is your storm. You're going through a storm right now. Right where you're at, I want you to stand up to your feet, wherever you are, all over the building, all over the campus, wherever you're at, would you just stand up? You're going through a storm. Come on. Okay, here you go. Yep. Now, this is going to be symbolic. I want you to look around. You see somebody standing by you. Just as a gesture of Christian love and compassion and truth, if someone's standing up by you, I just want one person at least. Would you just stand up next to them and link arms for just a second? I mean it. Would you just find somebody and link arms with them? And what we're saying is that we're in the storm with you right now. That Jesus is in the storm with you right now. You don't have to know the person who you're locked arms with, but you can look at their face and remember them and pray for them. Come on. We're locking arms. We're in the storm together. We're in the boat together. We're in Christ together. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person and every storm they represent, God, we just symbolically and spiritually, Lord, we want to link arms with them and just remind them you're not in this alone. There's other people in the boat. There's little boats that are watching. Jesus, we cry out to you right now. Some of us can cry out with faith because we have every reason to believe that you'll do for them what you've done for us. Others, Lord, we just kind of cry out and say, oh God, I believe, but help my unbelief. God, help my friend. It's just a guttural spiritual cry that says, oh God, oh God. Lord, would you move in these storms that are represented by these precious people? Would you touch them and deliver them, God? Would you give them strength and strategy? Lord, would you give them every single thing they need to be victorious in the midst of this storm? And these principles that we've heard today, God, may they be incorporated into their life. May they not just be hearers of this word, but doers of it. And God, we ask that in your grace and power, should the timing be right, may you stand up and rebuke the wind and the waves, and may you say, peace be still. And may there be a great calm. In Jesus' name, the great stopper of the storms, in Jesus' name, we stand together, we pray together, and we believe together. In Jesus' name. Amen, church family.
Amen.
Amen. Now give somebody a hug or a squeeze, and God bless you. Come on, encourage somebody this morning. Amen. Amen. All righty. God bless you all. Great being with you today. We'll see you real soon. Grace and peace of Jesus to you. God bless you guys.